And welcome to Diverse and Inclusive Leaders. This is the show where I speak with the most inspirational and thought-provoking leaders of today and unearth their unique stories of diversity and inclusion to help inspire, educate, and motivate others to make the world a better place. Today, I am so excited to be joined by the fantastic Sherry Cassano. I first had the opportunity to see Sherry live on stage in Rome at the DICE conference for Pfizer, and I was blown away by the personal story and the professional experience that she has joining Pfizer as the Chief Talent Officer, as well as being the People Experience Lead for the International and US Commercial Divisions. Within this role, she's responsible for broad development and implementation of HR strategies and initiatives, and she's incredibly passionate about colleague engagement, talent, culture, and many different things across the spectrum when it comes to human capital. Welcome to the show, Sherry.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to our discussion.
I'm so excited to have you here. So when I saw you on stage in Rome, which was wonderful, we're celebrating the 10th anniversary of DICE, the personal story and the real candor with which you came to the table, the in-person table as it was then, was just remarkable. And I'd love you to share a little for our listeners about the story, how you came to be where you are today, for those that didn't get to here in person as I did recently.
So I'm actually going to start a little bit earlier in my story than I even did in Rome, because I was fortunate enough to know at a very early age the type of work that I wanted to do. And that was because of an organization that was focused on advancing diversity in the workplace. So when I was actually a senior in high school, feels like many, many years ago, because it was many, many years ago, I was introduced to an organization called En-ROADS, and their purpose was to provide diverse individuals with internships in organizations for 4 years with the goal of getting them hired at the end of those 4 years. So at that time, the value proposition for the organization was you get a pipeline of early talent, diverse talent, who knows your organization, you get 4 years of observing their work and you get to hire them. And so my first internship with that organization was with a company called Clairol, the hair company. And I did an internship in human resources. And it was pretty much, as they say, love at first sight. I knew love at first experience, whatever word you want to describe, but I was hooked immediately. I love the interaction with working with the people. I love the idea that I was privy to confidential information and I liked the weight of that. I wasn't burdened by it, even as an 18-year-old. And so from really early on, because of that organization, I was introduced to the field of human resources. And that organization not only gave us internships, but they spent many, many hours helping us show up as the best that we could be. So a lot of lessons that I carry to this day, I attribute to some of those Saturday all-day sessions that I did with the En-ROADS organization. So fast forward at Pfizer, this is my 20th year at Pfizer. I came in human resources and really have been fortunate to have so many managers and sponsors and mentors along the way who have really helped shepherd my career journey. And so through those 20 years at Pfizer, I've had the opportunity to, from a HR client partner perspective, support every division of our business. I've had the opportunity to help stand up divisions, remove divisions, so many divestitures and acquisitions that I've been involved in throughout the year. One of the most rewarding opportunities that I had was about 5 years ago when I was asked to take over responsibility for leading the human resources organization, which we refer to as People Experience, for our global supply. So our manufacturing and our distribution organization. And that was a year before the COVID-19 pandemic. So when I accepted this assignment, we clearly did not know or expect to have a global pandemic. But what a privilege to lead the people organization for all of our frontline workers, because essentially when the pandemic broke out, very few colleagues outside of manufacturing needed to still come into the office. Most of us had the privilege of being able to work from home or work remotely, whereas these men and women needed to come in every single day to provide vaccines and medicines to our patients. And so there was no blueprint, no manual in terms of how do you keep a group of employees, 25 plus thousand employees, safe coming in with social distancing, as well as what policies and procedures did we need to put in place to make sure that we were taking care of our employees. And so again, I would call my counterparts at other companies. We were all dealing with the same issues and there were no answers. So we needed to come up with our own answers that we felt were best suited to Pfizer's values and to make the best decision with the information. So really that privilege to lead the organization through that time. And then on the other end, once Pfizer discovered the vaccine, to then help the organization staff up to be able to support the production of our vaccine and then our antiviral, again, really an opportunity of a lifetime. And the thing I note about that role is how fulfilling it was. But when it was first presented to me, I didn't actually think it was a great role. But again, having people who know me better than I know myself sometimes, or can see things that I may not see for myself, to say, Sherry, this is a third of the company. You should have experience in this area. You would bring a different leadership. And I trusted those individuals and listened. And again, the rewards of that role, you know, will be with me forever. And then about, you know, almost 18 months ago, when I took over the chief talent officer role, prior to that, I had largely been, again, in many divisions, but really supporting our businesses from an HR business partner perspective, leading teams of individuals, all in support of the business. This COE role, supporting all of Pfizer, was certainly different. And again, was loving what I was doing, so wasn't sure if I needed to make this move or should I make this move. But in thinking through it, the opportunity to be able to impact the full organization was something that was really put in front of me and I thought was a great opportunity. And again, what an incredible experience it has been to be able to impact programming and support broader rollout of things across the full enterprise while still keeping a divisional role. So the compromise I made was I still get to have a business partnering role. So I have that now for a commercial business, as you shared. But me, myself, I see that I'm growing in a different way when I think about rolling up something out for 85,000 people versus, you know, 25,000 or 30,000. It is a different level of rigor. It's a different level of responsibility, much more alignment and collaboration. And so my lesson to people is try to surround yourself with leaders, mentors, sponsors who really know you and know you well and can help understand ultimately your career aspirations because they can support you along the way. And then the second lesson is go outside of your comfort zone, because every time, and I've just given two recent examples, but throughout my career, I've continually gone outside of my comfort zone, rooted in trust. Generally, someone saying, I think you should do this. And I'm thinking, really? But I trust you. The rewards have been amazing. Even if there were times I failed, and because in these two examples, I didn't, I still learned so much and grew that there are lessons that you can learn from those examples as well.
Wow. Sherry, thank you so much for sharing. And, you know, what is incredible, circling right back to what you said to start with, is that the super young Sherry knew what she wanted to do. And this was love at first sight and experience. And also that you're so candid and very humble as well to actually say that essentially you learn the very most at times from failure, but really having that trust and that courage and the conviction in supporters that are willing to stand up, champion for you. Clearly people speak about you positively when you are not in the room. And so, you know, where you talk there very much about how they know you better than you know yourself, it's a super interesting dynamic. So I think, you know, especially as a talent professional saying this, it's a super fascinating juxtaposition.
Well, I think, and I don't think this is unique to me, I think sometimes we put limits on ourselves. And I think as a woman, as a diverse woman, particularly the research supports that sometimes you know, we can limit ourselves. I think many people, whether you're a man or a woman, et cetera, but particularly I think certain underrepresented groups, it's something to be mindful of. And so when I say people know me better than I know myself at times, I think what I mean by that is they sometimes have seen things that I didn't recognize in myself, or I was self-limiting, like, well, I'm not sure, maybe that's too big. No, or no, I'm really good at this area, so why try something different? But to say, no, you can do bigger and broader. And so really don't impose limits on yourself, because again, what's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen is it doesn't work out and it wasn't the right opportunity, but I guarantee even in those moments, you will learn and grow.
I have to ask, Sherry, because obviously you're a mom of two and you are many things to lots of different people. Were there inflection points in your career that you kind of had more self-limiting beliefs than others, or there were specifically pivotal times for you? And how much has the personal life, quote unquote, affected that within the professional world?
So I was fortunate that early on, I got a lesson in when I saw that I was limiting myself. So there was an opportunity, it was probably 6 years into Pfizer, there was an opportunity for a role. It was known to have been infamous to be a very difficult group. No one wanted it, a very difficult group. So I did not apply. It was an open posting process. I did not apply. No one spoke to me about it. So I thought, okay, I'm not ready for this role. Fast forward, the posting process closes. I actually see who has been given the role. And I thought to myself, oh, wow, I thought this was such a challenging role. I'm surprised they gave it to the person, not because the person wasn't talented, but actually they were coming from a different area. So they didn't know necessarily this part of HR. So it was really a stretch assignment. But nonetheless, they had been given the role. Well, unfortunately, they had some personal circumstances. So they needed they no longer could be in this role given some personal challenges. So the role then became available again. And at that point, I had a conversation because it was reporting to not my manager, but my manager's manager. And so at that point, I went to her. Her name was Denise. And I said, Denise, what do you think about me for this opportunity? And she said, I would love to have you in this opportunity. I just didn't think you were interested because you didn't apply. And I said, oh, well, I didn't think I was qualified to do this job. And she goes, what are you talking about? So long story short, I ended up applying for the role, getting the role. Great opportunity. And in fact, the role that was deemed to be so difficult and not, was actually not at all. I actually thoroughly enjoyed the opportunity. So that experience taught me a lesson that, one, don't impose limits on yourself. Actually, don't let someone else define what is difficult, because what may be difficult for someone else may not be for me, or vice versa. And so I learned to say, push yourself a bit more. But every once in a while, you still can get in your own way. And that's why having this, my board of directors, I like to call them, to help push me is also helpful. How it affects me at home is I'm incredibly fortunate. I have been married to my husband 19 years. So I came to Pfizer actually because of him. I was engaged and I was relocating to New York, and then Pfizer called. So it worked out. But he and I, we have had dual careers, but we're really clear. And I don't think we ever sat down and had a discussion about it, but it was really clear that we were there to support one another's career. And at different points, because we have a family, we have two children, certain people's career will, you know, be more top of mind than the other, because at times when you're trying to shuffle pickup and drop off and things, and somebody may have to miss a meeting. And so we were just really good. We've always been really good teammates from that perspective, good partners to say, right now, which situation is more important? They're both important, but at this moment, and there's been times when it's been his and there's been time that it's been mine. And so we partner really well. He is probably one of my biggest champions and supporters. I would say that aside from my mother, who I think she would be offended if I said that he was the biggest. But between the two of them, I've always had the support that we can figure this out. It's times really, really hectic and crazy. I actually wouldn't have it any other way. I don't think I operate well with just calm, which maybe says something about me. But we found a way to navigate it really well. And it's tough sometimes. I empathize with working parents. I completely get it. But my story, I think, is a good story to say it can be done. It can work out. And no disrespect to people who have help. We just, for whatever reason, I don't know why, we never had a lot of help that way, outside help. We've always did the daycares. And so we were always shuffling the drop off and the pickup. Now I see other coworkers and I'm like, we should have done that. We should have gotten a nanny, but we just didn't at that time. So I can really empathize with people who are in it in terms of trying to manage the demands of a role and the demands of being a really hands-on parent.
Sure. You know, that is so insightful. And as you are speaking, I'm sure there are people who are listening in, nodding along, going, oh, it can be, because there are those times when you think, can we have it all? You know, and I'm not just saying that from a female perspective or a ethnic minority perspective, because we all have our lived experiences, and our experiences that have brought us to where we are right now. But there is still a, you know, popular belief that we cannot have everything at the once, and it is choosing and being intentional over what is more important. And so to hear you say that it is doable, but then equally having that you know, that strong partner and person that's been with you through thick and thin, it sounds 19 years. So love for Pfizer and the other half as well. It's a great marriage in both respects. it's really phenomenal, really phenomenal. And as we've been talking about the whole aspect of what makes a person whole in life, and perhaps I'm being a little philosophical here, but I wonder, what does diversity and inclusion mean to you personally? And I would go as far to say belonging, equity, culture as well. But I know that is a huge question to ask.
Yeah. So, you know, there's that, I don't know who coined it, but it's out there that, you know, diversity is being invited to the party and inclusion is being asked to dance. Right. And so equity is, I guess, where we share the playlist and we rotate songs that we believe we all like individually, right? So but it actually, it's a very simple way to explain it, but I think it really works, because so often we focus on the diversity, which is the representation. So bringing people of different backgrounds, whatever those are, to a place. And that's fundamental, because if you don't even start with that, the rest won't happen. But where you have to make sure is we don't just stop there. Because you can have a very diverse organization, but not an inclusive one. And I've always said to my leaders, I can attract the talent, but it's equally as important to retain them. And how you retain the talent, whether diverse or not, is how inclusive our environments are. And so do people feel that the doors that they walk into, for Pfizer in this case, are inclusive, that they can actually be themselves, as we say, bring your whole self to work. And I was just literally on stage yesterday at my company talking about our new leadership profile. And one of those characteristics or attitudes that we want our colleagues to have is to engage with compassion. What I said is, you know, we say bring your whole selves to work, but are we really there for the whole colleague? Or are we just focused on their performance? Because that's not bringing your whole self to work. And so can people really be there? Can we support one another? Can we be there, recognize people, you know, be there as a pillar of strength and support when people are going through difficult times? That to me is a part of the inclusive and feeling like you really belong. So I was telling you this, Layla, before we started to record, that yesterday during this global broadcast in front of, you know, all of our employees who were watching, many live in the room and then lots more virtually, that we had a bit of a glitch with my walk-on music. And instead of, you know, it playing while I walked on, it played while I was on the stage. And so what did I do? I started to dance. And some people would be like, I can't believe that you would do that. But I think it's more telling about the culture at Pfizer that I am that comfortable, first of all, in my own skin, but second, with my company, that I feel that I can be vulnerable and dance on stage in front of my, you know, almost the full executive leadership team, CEO right in front of me, But that to me is about inclusion. That's how Pfizer makes me feel that I belong. And so it's a small example, but I think it is a telling example. You hear people talk about code switching and they really can't be themselves. That is exhausting and actually not sustainable when you have to pretend to be something that you are not. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't have a level of professionalism in the workplace, things like that, but it truly, there are people who you hear them say they have a way in the office and they have a way outside. And I'm sorry, the lines just blur. It's too exhausting to figure out what is my Sherry office self and what is my Sherry outside. And so I've just been fortunate that I work for an employer where we do focus on inclusion and belonging. So to me dancing on stage in front of our executive leadership team and many colleagues around the world, to me is a great example of belonging and how comfortable I can feel in my own skin at my company.
It is literally the epitome of the Verna Myers quote, isn't it? Is diversity, bringing yourself, dancing up there on stage, but also dancing to your own drumbeat, which clearly is what you are doing. And, you know, I think it is just, it's very pertinent actually that you talk about engagement and the whole exhaustion, because those that work not only in the diversity profession, but also those often within the broader human capital and resources profession and talent, you know, there is often that emotional tax. Indeed, 30%, even more, I'm sure, with certain studies, is how much we spend of our time worrying about how we fit in. And so you kind of think, well, you plow that into productivity. You dance your own dance on stage with, and I'm so pleased that you mentioned it, because I was like, oh my goodness, I've not heard an Usher song in ages. And I'm like wanting to go on afterwards because he is fantastic. But you think of that going into the roots and the branches of the organization, and that is like productivity going up and through the roof. And, you know, specifically when there are senior leaders, or back when I was in talent, we would call it this marzipan layer, the CEO minus two and beyond. It's those individuals that do, it is a double pressure in a way, but it is a huge external and internal driver to transcend that culture and that engagement. And so it's very good that I'm sure you'll be reminded of the dancing your own dance.
I've received, you know, so many emails and chats, and, you know, most of them were about, and we love the dancing, and, you know, it set the tone intentionally. It wasn't actually intentional for me to get up there and dance, but the tone was intended to be light, and we have a value of joy. And so what has been replayed back to me is it really was nice to see people really demonstrating our value of joy. It was nice that people can laugh at themselves and at such senior leaders. And what I've learned is, I have to remind myself, is now I am one of those senior leaders, because you continue to expand and grow. You don't necessarily see yourself that way. You still, so Sherry, you know, but I am now the senior leader that people look to. And I am also helping to set the tone of what the culture is at the company. So I was glad that it was received that way. I don't necessarily want to see the replay of me dancing, but I had a lot of fun. So that's all that matters.
The children might, though. Did they ask you about it? That'll be
I did tell them. I did tell my daughter that I was dancing, and she just put her head down because, you know, I'm sure she was like mortified. But I told her, I said, people liked it. And so she knows her mom at this point. So she just put her head down and just she knows.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And, you know, humor, it's one of those things that it cuts across all cultures, doesn't it? You talk about the feeling of being welcomed as well. And certainly, you know, we feel lucky and privileged to work closely with Pfizer and EMEA, but also in the States. And the times I've ever come in, you know, you feel welcome with open arms, and the spirit of the people, whether it be yourself, Ram, others, other execs, you know, especially in Rome, just embracing everyone. And that is really what matters, because it's the person and the people and the entire life cycle continuum of everything. And one of the final reflection actually on the talent being able to thrive within the organization. I think so important, because when you said diversity, you know, we can all look at hiring diverse, quote unquote, but actually, you know, we used to talk a lot about organ rejection, because if the culture is not there, you never actually retain and you end up in a situation. So the more dancers on stage, the better. Sherry, I have to ask another couple of quick lightning round questions. Sure. I could wax lyrical with you all afternoon, or rather your morning, in fact. Has there been, would you say, a secret to your success?
I think two secrets. So I'm cheating. Secrets. One, accountability. So I'm a person, if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. If I did it and it didn't go well, I will take full accountability. That has built trust. People know that they can rely on you. And then also surrounding myself with really good people, smarter than me, because you don't get to my level. And you, actually, the more higher you go, actually, it feels like you need a stronger team around you. You do less yourself directly. And so I have always surrounded myself with incredibly bright people who are different from me and challenge me. So those would be my two secrets to success.
And I'm adding an extra one on here. When I was going to ask you about your heroes or your sheroes that you have had, I know you mentioned your brilliant mom and your husband, but you also mentioned like a boardroom. It's interesting, because I often think when I'm trying to deal with the challenge myself, I have what's called my virtual boardroom. And it sounds like this is similar with your board. Who do you look to as your inspiration, and who's in that virtual boardroom?
Yeah, so interestingly, inspiration comes from all different places. Right now, the inspiration I'm getting particularly are from so many of our hires. We call them newcomers, but they essentially are, we have a refugee hiring program, because what we recognize is a lot of what people need of coming to a new country is they just want a chance to earn a living and to contribute to society. And so Pfizer, maybe 2 years ago now at this point, created a refugee program where we were focusing on trying to bring in refugees to provide employment. So once they're with us, we don't call them refugees, we call them newcomers. And I actually have one person on my team who is a part of that group, but there are many at Pfizer. We've hired hundreds at this point. And when you hear the stories and the levels of resilience that they've demonstrated, those have become my levels of inspiration, because what it tells me is I've gone through nothing that compares to some of the things that they've compared. Their lives were changed upside down, and yet they're happy, they're motivated, they just want to contribute. And so I often coming home telling my children these types of stories, because I think we can all learn lessons. So right now they're not in my board of directors per se, but from an inspiration, I'm getting a lot of inspiration from that group of individuals. Who are my board of directors? The list varies. There are people who are inside of my company and outside of my company. Some of them were former managers throughout the years that we've just continued to have relationships. Some of them are people that you just sort of potentially stumble on that you realize, you know, I can trust this person. And so it's not a big group. I would say it's probably about 6 or 7 individuals that when I'm going through something or I need some advice, I'll pick up the phone and call, or, you know, have a cup of coffee with, and vice versa. I hope they consider me also to be people that are there. And these are people that I know will show up for me, and I will literally drop anything that I'm doing to show up for those individuals as well. So that's the group, not a big number of people, but I think everyone needs that, whatever you choose to call them. We all need people that we can, who will tell you the truth, who have your best interest at heart, and can just help give you a different perspective maybe than you're having.
That's such a great answer, an absolutely huge takeaway as well. I would say for everyone who is listening to this podcast is having people that aren't just going to tell you what you want to hear, but equally those that you know would have your back. And the importance, I think, as well, the higher up you go, the more lonely I think it often becomes. And so it's a strange dynamic in that actually the group that you think might get larger becomes even smaller and even tighter, but being able to share outside at times, the organization and the direct circle, I think very key. So wonderful, wonderful advice. Thank you so much. And finally, and again, maybe this one will be easy because we're almost starting right at the beginning of where we started at the beginning of the podcast. But if you could go back in time and give the very young Sherry advice, and maybe we're pre-18 here when you were absorbing all the information from people, what would you say to your younger self?
You know, I think the advice I would give to my younger self is to embrace your age. So often in the workplace, I was the youngest person around the table. And although no one ever treated me different, it was very embracing. I was always so hung up on it. And so I was, again, not, that's why I know it's exhausting, but trying to show up a certain way and present myself to be older. Now, clearly now at this point, I'm not the youngest person in the room, but I make sure when I do see some of our early talent that we bring in, I want to hear their thoughts. And I make sure they know very clearly that we want to hear from them, because I do remember in the beginning, again, self-imposed. No one actually made me feel this way. This was myself, that I needed to act a certain way. I never would say my age and talk about it. I didn't see that as a strength. I saw that as, you know, I don't have as much experience as these people, and yet I'm giving advice to these senior people that are much older than me as their HR representative. And now I see that as actually your youth can be a strength. You see things differently. You have a fresh perspective. I didn't see it that way. I quickly got it, though. I wouldn't say that that stayed with me so long, but I remember in those early days, even at Pfizer, you know, when I'm 23, 24, wondering like, why am I the youngest person in the room, and feeling that I had to put on a certain air to appear older. That's really what it was, essentially. So I would tell myself, let go of that completely and just do your work.
Mm-hmm. I can almost hear other people saying, I've had the same thing, because I'm sitting here nodding, mm-hmm. going, I absolutely get that. And I think especially within talent, when you're interviewing, you're speaking with such senior people, it is that, oh my goodness, you know, will I get found out kind of situation. Was there I'm breaking my own rules here because I'm asking a million lightning round questions and I will summarize and wrap soon, but was there an age, because you have talked about age being key and embracing that, where those started to fall by the wayside, those feelings of more intense imposter syndrome?
Yeah, I don't remember the age, but I would say it was probably a year into Pfizer once I realized, you know what, you have this, like you actually know what you're doing. It's being received well. People are listening to me. They're seeking out my guidance. Then that sort of all goes away. It was more so in the beginning where, you know, I'm new to this company, again, the youngest person in the room, and just feeling like I needed to show up that way. But that's why I'm mindful with my behavior, because positive reinforcement can go a long way for people, particularly when you're early in your career and you know, you're less sure of yourself. Confidence may not be there. So I can't say, you know, it was 25 or I don't remember, but I would say probably within a year in, I realized, oh, please, you have this. You actually know what you're talking about. It's being received. Just do it. And so it's just time wasted. It's not that I didn't do my job, but it was so much energy spent on thinking about what I was going to say, or should I speak up in a room? After being in a room so many times, when I had a thought, didn't say it because I thought nobody wants to hear it. And then someone else saying that same thing and saying, oh man, you know, after a while, it's exhausting, it's draining. And so you just get on with it. But if I could have saved myself, even if it was just a year, I would give that advice to be confident, embrace your age, scream through the rooftops. You know, I'm 24 or 20, however age was, because now, I mean, many of us wish we could go back. I actually don't want to go back to 24, but you know, now we're not talking about our age and for other reasons. So it's just one of those things to embrace wherever you are in life. And it's a part of bringing your whole self to work and being okay with who you are and where you are.
Sherry, that is such a beautiful note to end the podcast on. Thank you so, so much. I have enjoyed every minute of this. I normally summarize. I'm like, oh my goodness, where do I even
Well, thank you for having me. This went super fast, so I appreciate the time today.
Thank you so much. And for everyone who is listening, please do make sure you hit subscribe. The show notes will be in there if you missed anything. I was trying to make notes during this podcast, so I was just like, oh my goodness, there's so much rich learning in there. And there will be a summary as well. What I will say very briefly is what really resonated for me were this not imposing self-limiting beliefs on yourself. Wasted time, wasted energy on worrying. I know often easier said than done, but actually, what is the worst that can happen? You know, clearly, Sherry, you have, you've been there, you've done that, you've been through and pushed through what have been challenging times, but some of the richest learnings, I think, have come from those moments where you thought, not quite sure whether that was the right thing. And I think that gives confidence actually to everyone else who is listening in, because it's an easy thing at times to look at how far you have to go up the mountain, less so going, hey, do you know what, I learned so much from that pivotal moment in my life, I learned so much from that, and what is the worst that can happen. But finally, the accountability and also embracing your truth, being okay with who you are. I can't remember who said the quote now, but everyone else is taken, aren't they? And so I think really profound way for you to very kindly finish the podcast, and it has just been wonderful to have you.
Thank you so much.
My name is Leila McKenzie Dallas, founder and CEO of Dial Global. You've been listening to the Diverse and Inclusive Leaders podcast with the fantastic Sherry Cassano from Pfizer. Download on Apple, Spotify, your favorite podcast app, or directly at www.dialglobal.org/podcast. See you again very soon.